Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Real ghost stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a grandfather loses a battle with a long-term illness, but he visits his loved ones to say goodbye. A child's unease with his normal bedtime could actually be his sensitivity to a presence. And could something use Pandora to make its presence known? Also, spirit takes the opportunity to show itself during a possible hallucination. Only multiple people saw it. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Possible hallucination, but other people saw it.
Yes. Let's just say our author was enjoying some questionable substances.
Uh-huh.
But multiple people saw what he saw.
So it wasn't just, this should be interesting. Were the other people using the questionable substances as well?
Yeah, it was one other person. It was just the two of them, and they were doing the same thing.
But they both saw the same thing.
Yes.
Well, that's odd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe the brain works that way.
No.
Interesting. Well, some interesting stories today. 855-853-4802, of course, is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email the audio file of your story over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's get right into our first story here today at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lori writes in, love your show. Wanted to contribute one of my many experiences that I've had during my lifetime. The story is a little long, but I have to give you some background and details, or else it won't mean as much. When I was 11 years old, my mother packed our bags and we left to live with my aunt, which lasted for about 2 years. My father was verbally and physically abusive, and after 3 days and nights of him being on a rampage, she said that was enough and we had to leave to be safe. During the 2-year time period, they divorced and she met a man named Tony, who was the total opposite of my dad. He was soft-spoken and kind, considerate of everyone around him, and very supportive of me while growing up. Fast forward to when I was 20 and facing an unexpected pregnancy, I had my son, Logan, who has been nothing but a joy and became Tony's best buddy from the day he was born. Tony was widowed but had married a woman much older than himself, so they never had children. When my son was in fourth grade, we noticed some cognitive changes in Tony, but he and Logan were inseparable. He started forgetting things, but always seemed to remember us. He still smiled all the time and was pleasant, but in the final year of his life, he pulled away from everyone and became aggressive, as many people with Alzheimer's do. It was terrible to see these changes. In his final 6 weeks of life, keeping him at home became impossible. My mother and I had provided around-the-clock care while my son was in school, and he would often sit with Tony and try to talk to him. He went to a hospice facility before Thanksgiving and clung to life until January 3rd. The holidays were always his favorite time, so not having him at home was very sad. One night before he passed, I was home alone, a few weeks before Christmas, just watching a movie while my mom and son were at the store. I heard a noise that rose above the sound of the TV. It started off softly but grew quickly. It was the sound of a voice screaming. It passed through the room, coming to a loud peak and then fading off. It was definitely a human voice. It startled me terribly. I muted the TV and looked outside, but everything was quiet. Hardly anyone was out in the bitter cold for snow, cold and snow. For Christmas, we didn't know what to buy Tony. At this point, he wasn't eating and was in a catatonic state. He'd stare straight ahead, hardly blinking, and was completely unresponsive. His body was rigid, and his muscles would lock up. Although we knew he wouldn't be aware of the holiday, my son picked out an adorable stuffed dog wearing a Santa hat for Tony's present. When my son gave him the toy, he actually acknowledged it and started petting it. We had two dogs, and it resembled our fluffy little boy dog. As I said before, he passed on January 3rd. My son held his tears in, but I knew he was hurting and grieving. He had the stuffed toy dog he had given Tony and kept it close. After a two-year battle with Alzheimer's, we were all exhausted. We hoped Tony was at peace and out of the pain and confusion that he had suffered. One night, about a month after Tony passed away, I woke up around 3 a.m. and I needed to use the bathroom. The bathroom is across the hall and one door down from ours, so when the light is on, it's easy to see. Logan and I shared a room that time, and he was sleeping in the bed across from me. I saw what I thought was Logan stand up and walk out of the room and assumed he was going to use the bathroom or get a drink of water. When there was no light or sounds of water, I sat up and flipped the light on. He was in a deep sleep, holding the toy, and hadn't gotten up. So who walked out of the room? It was a dark figure, solid-looking, and walked out the door and turned left in the direction of our bathroom. I sat on my bed for several minutes, trying to process what had happened. First, I was a little frightened, but after looking at Logan, I realized that it was only Tony coming to check on someone incredibly precious. My family and I agree that death is never the end and that people who pass on never forget the ones they loved. There's been several more experiences over the years since his passing, but it's a comfort to know he stops by to visit every now and then.
Okay, I really think that it probably was Tony coming to visit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little thrown off by the scream that she heard when she was home alone that time.
Yeah, that's odd.
And I don't know if it's related or not, but it seems like there's at least something already going on and that maybe, you know, the grandfather's spirit is now there too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
I wonder if some places are easier to haunt than others.
Like maybe once you've got one ghost haunting, then it's easier for other ghosts to come and haunt it?
Yeah, if just, you know, if for whatever reason, you know, one location is easier to have a ghost at than another. You know, some, for example, some places, some people, for like this case, let's say that they have the ghost that haunts there and comes and checks in, and then they move to another home and suddenly it just stops.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen anymore. Is that because the ghost doesn't want to haunt, or is it because the location that they're at is more apt to letting you be aware that they're there? You know, it's like a atmospheric pressure, and that's not what I'm saying it is, but it's like some areas feel different than other areas.
Sure, but maybe the ghost is tied to the house.
Sure.
And something within the house or the property or whatever, and it's not so much following them.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other mm-hmm. end of that argument, too.
Sure.
It just makes me wonder if some areas, for whatever reason, have an easier atmosphere for producing ghosts or for letting them to be known?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that it's like, I guess maybe not technically an atmosphere thing because you have it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's more like, and I hate to say the term infestation, but you know, like once you've got one pest,
mm-hmm.
it's really easy to have multiple pests.
Sure.
I'm wondering if it's something like that.
I think it could be.
I don't know.
It could be. Thanks for sharing that story with us. Our next letter comes into us from Keegan. Keegan says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Recently started listening to your podcast through my girlfriend's recommendation. We usually listen to an episode or seven every night as part of our going to sleep routine. Anyway, I have a story of my own to share. I'm from Cape Town, South Africa. When I was younger, about a week after my grandmother passed away, I experienced a truly horrifying paranormal evening. I remember arguing with my mother one evening around my bedtime as I didn't want to go to sleep. I had a funny feeling that I've never experienced before. It didn't feel like a normal bedtime to me. I felt very uneasy. Ultimately, I lost the battle and had to go to bed. I fell asleep fairly easily. However, during the night, I woke up to something or someone rubbing my forehead. I looked everywhere from my bed, but I couldn't see anything. All of a sudden, I heard a voice asking me to come with it. I can't remember what the voice sounded like, but I remember the words it spoke very clearly. By this time, I was petrified. Eyes wide open. I shook my head, making a no motion. Then all of a sudden, the bathroom door in the passageway closed with a loud and solid bang. I was trying to keep as still as possible in case something or someone was coming for me. I was wide awake, trying not to move, hiding underneath my blankets. After a while of complete silence and trying to be motionless, the back door in my room leading to the back garden banged, resulting and all my hats and caps falling that were hung up on nails on the inside of my door. That is when I decided to do my mental countdown, to build up enough courage to run to my mother's room. I eventually bolted for her room, woke her up, and told her what had happened. She just told me to go back to sleep. After some convincing, she finally gave up and said I must get the fold-up mattress and make myself a bed on the floor. Lying there without blankets or pillows, cold and struggling to sleep and scared, I heard footsteps walking up and down the passage. I woke my mother and asked if she heard any of it, as to which she replied, "No, go to sleep." After a few minutes, I heard Tupperware scraping across the kitchen floor. I woke my mother again, asking her the same question again, which she replied to, "No, I'm trying to sleep." After moaning that I was cold, she got up and fetched my blanket and pillow and fell asleep almost immediately. I still don't know who or what it was, but there was Tupperware on the floor of the kitchen. The next morning, and my hats were on the floor. I've never been so scared in my life. My girlfriend is no stranger to the paranormal. Her story is about the witch house story in an EPP episode, and she's urged me to share my story. Hopefully it will freak some people out as it did me. I enjoy listening to your show, and hopefully my story gets told. I would love to hear your opinion on this.
So the way the mom couldn't hear anything, I almost wonder if it's Keegan.
I would guess so.
And it's just, let's just mess with a few things just so when Keegan's awake and comes downstairs and there's stuff moved.
Mm-hmm. He's blamed.
Yep. Or he knows that it wasn't just his imagination.
And it's up to him to convince everyone else it's a ghost.
Yeah.
That's not a fun position to be in.
No.
I think I've come up with a new name for the ghosts that do the whole sound thing,
mm-hmm.
where other people can't hear them or just one person is picking up. Sound suckers.
Sound suckers.
You like that?
I like that.
As a sound sucker.
Okay.
That story. It sounds kind of weird.
It does.
Creepy. And
kind of Stranger Things.
It is. It's a sound sucker.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. You had a sound sucker.
Okay.
Sound sucker. Sound sucker.
Oh, no.
Sound sucker and me.
Okay.
Yes. And there's also.
Don't sing anything.
Well,
else.
There was my buddy and there was kid sister. So there needs to be like a companion for sound sucker.
No.
I don't know what that would be. I'll think about that. Leah. Right, and hi there, Leah from North Carolina here. What I'm writing in about happened to me last night, and I'm still kind of scratching my head about it. Having a bit of an internal back and forth between logic and superstition, I think. I just moved into a new apartment this past weekend. The first thing that stood out to me when the landlord showed me the place was the walk-in closet in the bedroom. It's kind of a weird placement and build. It's over the stairs. There's one almost too big step up into it and a built-in ledge with, of course, a creepy, boarded-up crawl space hole over it. I should also mention that my new place is right around the corner from a large city cemetery in the historic district of town. Last night, I finally got around to replacing the light bulb in said walk-in closet. I turned on my flashlight on my phone so I could see clearly to unscrew the globe and change out the bulb. I forgot the box of bulbs in the hall closet, so I just sat on my phone, set my phone down with the flashlight still on in the walk-in and went to get the bulb. Please note, I did not unlock my phone to do this. It's an iPhone, so you can pull up the flashlight even with the lock screen on. Just as I was going out the door into the hall, only a few feet from the closet, my phone starts playing a big band swing music. For a split second, I thought it was a phone call, but it dawned on me immediately after that my ringer is completely different. I'm a fan of big band music and have a Pandora station of it, but that 100% was not the last station I listened to on Pandora. I was listening to Mumford & Sons station, a far cry from big band music. And that was 2 days prior, while I was driving home from out of town. Anyway, I just turned around and just kind of stood there for a second, thinking, no way, what the hell? Went back and picked up my phone. I had to unlock it to turn off the music. No idea how this happened. I'm chalking it up to a random glitch with my phone, although deep down I'm not sure. It's not the end of the story, though. I was moving some stuff around later downstairs, trying to get my living room set up. And I heard three solid knocks on the door. I thought it might be one of my new neighbors coming to introduce themselves or something. I called out, "Hold on, I'll be right there." Put down what I had in my hands and opened the door. No more than half a minute or so had passed, and there was no one there. Stepped outside onto the porch and looked around, and nobody in sight. None of the neighbors' doors are opened either. I stood there for another minute and said aloud, "Okay." Then went back inside and shut the door. Again, my logical side says to chalk it up to something knocking on my neighbor's door and going inside their apartment, but there were no guest cars in the parking lot. I checked. I didn't hear the neighbor's door open or close. There are no children in the 4-apartment complex old enough to pull the knock-and-run prank, and the rest of the neighborhood is made up of mostly older folks or people, couples, in or older than their late 20s. So again, I'm left a bit baffled and not really sure it was a neighbor's door. If there's anything there, I don't get a bad vibe. Well, I've never seen any spirits or experienced anything definitive firsthand and don't particularly want to. I'm very intuitive and sensitive to things being off about situations and people. Maybe it's just a presence welcoming me to the neighborhood. I don't know. If so, at least they have good taste in music, I guess. If anything else comes up, I'll write or call in for sure. Keep up the good work, and thanks for reading, Leah.
Go with your gut. If you felt weird in that closet, there might be something going on, and it's awful quick for weird things to be happening when you moved in over the weekend.
Sure.
So I think only time's going to tell on this, and it may be too early to jump to the conclusion of something being there, but needless to say you felt weird, and that to me sometimes is enough.
A lot of the symptoms are there of a haunting.
Yeah.
And kind of when you have a lot of them, you start to go, okay, I think there's a haunting going on here. You know, I can sit for a long time going, it's just allergies. It's just allergies. And eventually it's a cold.
Yeah.
And that may be kind of what's going on. Depending if this continues on.
Yeah, and that's the thing we have to wait and see. And could it be a phone glitch? Yeah, but for creepy old 40s music in your weird closet, that's not good.
Pretty random.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your experience.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Shelby writes into us, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Shelby from Tennessee. I've written in before from a few times with the From Thin Air story about the Phantom Radio, and I sent in a seeing ghost photo where the innocent selfie had an apparition in the picture. Thank you so much for sharing those. I love seeing my own stories on your show. Anyway, I thought I'd write in and tell you about something that happened to me when I was around the age of 17. I've had previous experiences with hallucinogens and psychedelics previous to this occurrence, and nothing like this has ever taken place. Shamans have used hallucinogens for many years because they believe they can open your third eye and give you the ability to see beyond the normal world. At the time this story took place, I was in a very rough spot in my life. I was struggling with severe depression and was suicidal. I was spending the weekend with my best friend at her house, and we decided to take a small dose of,
but it's mushrooms.
Okay, there you go, mushrooms. After the peak of my trip, when I was starting to come down, I saw a haunting figure in my best friend's living room. It was hung over the doorway, and it looked to be mostly black with a long black cape. The blackness was darker than anything I'd ever seen. The apparition had no face, and where its face should have been was completely blank, except for a gaping, sharp-toothed mouth. It was honestly horrifying. The weird thing is, all I could do was sit and stare at the thing. I was scared, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't take my eyes off of it. Eventually, it just faded away, and I've not seen the apparition since. Now, here are the reasons I know without a doubt that this figure was not just a hallucination. First off, I had prior experience with mushrooms, and even at the higher doses, I had never seen anything this real. Secondly, at this point in my life, I was going through a lot. I've heard that bad spirits can feed off of negative energy. And lastly, the next day, I told my friend about that experience that I had, and she then told me that she had seen the spirit before, too. I asked her to explain how it looked, and she was spot on. Never been more creeped out in my life. She told me that this same spirit had also come to her at night, and she was woken up by being choked by it. She told me that the time that this had happened, she was also going through a very bad depression. After this occurrence, I researched a lot about spirits with no faces. There were many results about how those things had no soul and were looking to take someone else's. This could all just be an urban legend, but I'd like to get your guys' feedback on this. I really do believe this apparition is very real, and ever since seeing it, every time I go to my best friend's house, I can still feel its negative energy. Nearly 4 years later. Thank you guys so much for giving us this outlet to share our experiences with others. I'm a proud EPP and supporter of the show. Keep up the great work.
I think two people saw it. There's something there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care that he was taking mushrooms when he saw it.
Mm-hmm.
The other person saw the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, that whether or not that was required to open them up or whatever enough to see it,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yeah, the fact that there's two people that are visibly seeing this thing tells me whatever is there goes beyond whatever is actually being taken.
Right.
It's something all unto itself, and it doesn't sound all that nice.
No, not at all. Not if it chokes people in their sleep.
Yeah. That's never a good thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here. If you're not an EPP yet, consider becoming one. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. You get all the bonus episodes, almost 110 of them up there for you. Also, exclusive video content and access to all of the episodes that have fallen off of iTunes. There's like 300 some of those up there now, so lots and lots of stuff to binge away on here in October. David writes in, I just have to say that I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and they're fantastic. Thank you both for doing the show. I plan to become an EPP as soon as I make some money. I've had a few experiences, but right now I'm going to share with you the creepiest one. I wouldn't call my house haunted, but I believe that things pass through once in a while. This is the first and only time an event such as this has occurred in this house. This incident happened over 10 years ago, but I remember it vividly. I was 9 at the time, and my brother Alex was 6. We slept in the same room and in separate beds. I slept in the bed on the far end of the room, and my brother's bed was small and right across from the doorway. The door was always open, and just outside of our room is a small hallway. There's a light in the hallway that's always dimmed during the night. Although I slept on the far end of the room, I could still clearly see outside the door and into the hallway. I awoke in the middle of the night and looked out the doorway. Standing in the hallway was a greenish, luminescent skeleton. Color-wise, the only thing I can compare it to is the glow-in-the-dark toys that used to be popular. It had a bright green glow. It was facing away from our room, and it was incredibly tall, over 6 feet at least. I'll never forget the image of that tall, skinny, green skeleton. As soon as I saw this figure, I hid under my covers. I started to sweat heavily and was breathing very hard. After for what seemed like an eternity, I came out from under the covers to breathe. I looked at the doorway, and the glowing green skeleton was still there. Only it was walking down the hall. I drew up the courage to sit there and watch it, and it would walk back and forth down the hall very slowly, never looking into our room. My brother appeared to be asleep, and for whatever reason, I couldn't call out to him. This thing was solid, too, definitely not transparent. After a minute of watching this thing, I turned away from it and eventually fell asleep. The next day, I thought about the skeleton a lot. I don't know what sleep paralysis was at the time, but I assumed that I was half awake and half asleep now. After all, the idea of a green glow-in-the-dark skeleton scouting the hallway was ridiculous, and I'd never seen anything like it before. Still, what I saw bothered me, and so I told my brother. As soon as I mentioned the skeleton, his eyes widened and he went pale. He explained that he had awakened in the middle of the night to see a skeleton walking down the hallway as well. I asked him if it was green and glowing, and he nodded yes. Never seen him so afraid. Apparently, he woke up in the night, saw it, then eventually went back to sleep again. I don't know whether or not he saw it before or after I did, but it is clear we both had witnessed the same being. This upset us both a lot, and until recently, we never talked about it again. The skeleton being never reappeared. My brother told our parents about the whole thing, and they just laughed it off. They told me to stop telling my brother scary stories, and as frustrated as I was, I didn't argue. A year or so ago, I brought up the event with my brother, and he said he only faintly remembers it happening. I know what I saw. I know the look of intense fear in his eyes, and he told me what he saw. We both saw a green, luminescent skeleton pacing the hallway. I have to wonder what it was and what its purpose was. It still bothers me to this day whenever I think about it. I wonder if you've ever heard of any similar stories or if you have any ideas on what this whole thing was about. Greatly appreciate your thoughts, and thanks again for being awesome. David.
I don't know that we've heard of a green glowing skeleton before, but I think that, again, both of them saw it, so something was there, and that's how their little minds interpreted it, if that's what it really looked like or not, I don't know, but they both saw a similar figure.
And it could be, you know, you think, oh, that sounds really Halloweenish and, you know, kind of something out of a nightmare or something. But, you know, keep in mind, if there's something out there that's trying to make someone scared, especially little kids, they're probably going to go after the imagery that would freak them out the most.
Yeah.
And something like that would probably be right up there. So I think it could be something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
My skeleton dream when I was a kid, that happened when I was three, I still remember it vividly. The skeleton in that wasn't so much green. I guess you could kind of go down that road a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But it was like almost glowing white to the point of, you know, maybe having kind of a green tinge to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was running around the house and it said skeleton de-skeleton.
You know,
and it freaked me out and I woke up.
Skeleton de-skeleton.
Skeleton de-skeleton.
I almost wonder if maybe it wasn't trying to project itself in a less threatening way by being like glow in the dark green and not having pieces of skin falling off its face and stuff like that. I mean, it could have looked like the Crypt Keeper and scared the crap out of the kids, but instead it looks more like a Halloween toy that's walking up and down the hall.
That's true.
I don't know.
Maybe it's not always bad here in this story.
Maybe it's just he's like, that's the best I can do.
I can make myself glow.
Yeah.
Enjoy. I don't know. Mine was just a dream, though.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see it.
No.
Weirdest dream. I started off on the stream hanging off the side of a station wagon.
God. Okay.
And then there was somebody driving, I don't know. And it was like, you know, it was a station wagon with the wood paneling on the sides.
Sure. Like a Griswold.
Yeah, it was kind of Griswold-ish, but it was a blue version of it. And there was like this, I don't know, you know, kind of John Candy-ish man looking, driving the thing. And we were driving up to, where, you know, past the area. I was like, stop, this is where I live. And he stops and I jumped out, went up the stairs to the porch, went to the porch, opened up the door to the house. And there's a skeleton in my living room. And it's running around and it's trying to freak me out. And then eventually it runs towards me and picks me up and carries me to the basement and it shouts, skeleton, de-skeleton.
That's so weird.
This is from the mind of Tony at three.
Yeah.
I still remember. Every single day.
You're disturbed.
I relive the trauma of skeleton, de-skeleton.
Okay.
I do. Let's get another caller. Hi. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's me, Akia, from New Mexico again. I just wanted to ask you guys about something that happened a little bit over a few months ago. I guess there was a ghost in my house or something. I don't know what it was, but my sister, she kept having her her closet door open and close on occasion, and drawers and stuff in her closet, you know, open and close fast and loud throughout the night, and it used to scare the dickens out of her to the point where she'd have to spend the night in my room despite being 15. And we were just confused about how the ghost even got there, because the property of our property, as far as we're aware, only animal deaths have occurred on the property, and the house is only 20 years old and only had previous tenants, and like I said, only animals died. But my sister would see this one guy, probably looked like he was in his 70s attire, and he had those big I forgot the name of the type of glasses, like the ones that Harry Potter wears, you know, glasses like that. And he had a white shirt and blue jeans on with a big thick mustache. Like, she'd see him out of the corner of her eye in the hallway near where her bedroom is. We did end up at, cleansing the house, and nothing's happened since, but I wanted to get your guys' opinion of whether that was, like, somebody who had died on the property or something like that, because I honestly have no idea where the ghost could have come from. But, yeah, I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on that. Hope to hear this call on the show. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Okay, do we go down the various ways your property can become haunted?
we do that quite a bit.
We do.
I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that you want to do the rundown.
You want to?
Go ahead.
It could be a passer-through. Could be something that came in attached to one of you. Could be something that just was tied to the land and you don't know. I don't know exactly. It could be any of those.
Yeah, I mean, there's... could virtually be any reason.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to have some sort of trauma in the house or something that's going to cause it. That can certainly probably increase your odds, but not so much all the time. So.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll go away as quickly as it came.
Sometimes that does happen. Let us know how that plays out there for you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. The buzzing you're hearing in the back, not EVPs.
No.
I just want to point that out. If you heard banging or buzzing on today's show, they're doing some work upstairs, and you can hear it down here a bit.
It's concrete work. It's lovely.
But not EVPs.
No.
They had to dig out part of our garage floor. I couldn't think of the name of the word.
Yeah, part of the garage floor, and so it's been noisy today.
Very thick concrete, and what was really funny is, you know, you get down to dirt, and you won't believe what they found underneath there.
There's nothing under there.
We'll talk about it after this story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Rhonda Hughes in San Diego, California. Forgive me if I sound out of breath. Not only am I tired, but I'm also 6 months pregnant with my fifth child, and I just ate, so I'm full on top of being stuffed like Thanksgiving turkey. Anyway, I had originally written this story into you, but I heard that if I call it in, there's a better chance of it getting on sooner. So I decided to do that. So go ahead and disregard any write-ins that's from Rhonda Hughes. Okay, so this story is actually my mom's story. This happened before I was born. She actually hadn't even met my dad yet. So my mom had divorced from her first husband, and she had my brother and my sister, and she and my grandmother were living together. And my mom used to be a smoker and had ashtrays everywhere in her house, but they were both very neat and tidy people, so they kept a very clean house. And they both had full-time jobs. So my mom would take my brother, she'd go to work, my grandma would go to work, And when they would come home, my mom would find all of her ashtrays dumped into one. And all of the cupboards and the drawers in the kitchen would be pulled out. On another occasion in that same house, my mom had put the kids to bed. And she was awake and in her bedroom. I don't know what she was doing, but she wasn't going to sleep yet. And she heard the sound of a child giggling in the bathroom. And my brother had a flat-bottom tugboat bath toy that she also heard rolling around in the bathtub. And so she walked out of her room and was going to go tell her that it was to go back to bed. But when she passed my brother and sister's bedroom, heading to the bathroom, she saw that both of them were still asleep in their beds. Another occasion in that house, she put the kids to bed again, and she was laying in her bed and trying to go to sleep, but she was still very much awake. And from her bed, you could see down the hall into the living room. And on the far wall, across the living room, facing the hallway, they had a pink pig toy box. I don't know if you remember those big, they had like a football and then the pink pig and I think something else, but they had the pig. And my mom laid there in the bed and she watched the lid come off of the toy box and a rubber bouncy ball come out of the toy box. So they didn't stay in that house very much longer. They moved out. Creepy though. Very creepy. My mom is actually a very sensitive lady when it comes to all this stuff, and I'm slightly envious that she has gotten to witness paranormal things. This isn't the first thing or the last thing that she's witnessed. She's actually been at my grandma's house after my grandpa died, cleaning out his den, and when she walked into the hallway, she smelt his aftershave, and so grandpa was there with her. I've got more stuff to tell you, but I guess I should probably call in at another time to do that because it's gonna go over the allotted time. So, yeah, it'll probably be maybe today or tomorrow, but I'm sure you'll play it on way separate shows. Anyway, thank you for listening. I love the show. My son loves the show. One of my three sons. And I listen to it at work, and I get so frustrated when somebody comes up to me and tries to talk to me because I have to take my earbuds out and pause the show so they can ask, which, God forbid, I actually have to work with people. Anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I think the toy chest ghost is probably just a little kid just thinking, oh, hey, toys, you know?
If you stay in the same state and the same mindset, you would very likely still be interested in the same things.
Yeah.
I'd be playing. There'd be a lot of really upset people in the house I'm haunting if I was a little kid ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd constantly be like messing with the Nintendos, you know.
Sure.
I'd be trying to play and like, no, I'm not pressing to go that direction. I'd like make it go the other way just to totally screw with people. Goat.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, let's get another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I love the show. I listen almost every day. And I just really like how you like the storytellers kind of shape the narrative of this show. So I think that's great. So I'm calling right now anonymously because of the nature of my story and because it's ongoing right now. It's about my best friend's dad, whom I've been best friends with for 25 years, and I call him dad, very close to him. and he's been sick for a period of time, and just recently he went into the ICU, and he started experiencing strange things. The doctors and everybody, I think, at first just thought it was medications or like dehydration, something like that. But what happened was he was checked in and he was kind of noticing things. He's been in there about a week and a half, and probably about 3 days in, he started saying, like, I'm seeing kids, they won't leave me alone, I'm scared. And mind you, like, this is a huge man, you know, 280 pounds, 6'5", never been scared of anything. And now he's telling us, I'm scared, I don't want to be here. And so he kept saying these two little kids would not leave him alone. And so he called his fourth night at about 11:30 at night from the ICU, which there are no kids allowed under 12 in ICU, obviously no kids there at 11:30 p.m. And he left a voicemail to his brother telling him, I'm scared, I don't want to be here. And in the background was a child screaming bloody murder at the top of their lungs, just screaming and screaming. And so that really freaked all of us out. We were like, okay, he's not hallucinating, this is real. He's being bothered, and he kept saying, I think they come from a mental hospital. They wouldn't leave me alone. They wanted me to go with them. Finally, I was so tired that I agreed, and they took me to another dimension, and it was really scary, and now they're attached to me. And the creepy thing about it is our hospital is actually built on the same grounds, like right behind what used to be our mental hospital. It's been functioning most of my life. They've just sort of begun shutting it down, and they most recently have just closed the children's psychiatric ward. So that kind of led us to believe, okay, these kids kind of must have come from there. They realized he had some sort of abilities. And so his wife said, well, he's had abilities always, and I remember as children, him seeing things and everything, but we all saw things because of their house, so we just never thought it was anything more than that. But it turns out he's always had these abilities that he's basically said, I'm not seeing anything, I'm ignoring this, which seems like a bad mixture for now this all kind of coming to a head all at once. And some of the other things that's going on, for instance, are there's other people there that from the psychiatric ward that are not the children, but they're not really bugging them. They're just kind of like standing around them, hanging out. And one of them keeps standing behind the doctor every time the doctor comes in. So he keeps asking the doctor, who's standing behind you? Who's standing behind you? And the doctor's like, nobody's standing behind you or behind me. And so that's another weird thing. And so he had his reverend come in and another family member that has always had abilities. And when they came in, they said, oh, well, we don't really feel anything here. We just feel good things. Your great grandma's here watching over you. You know, you have good people watching over you. So we're not really sure what you're seeing here. It must not be bad. But then he told us that whenever they come, all of the mentally disabled people leave. And so it almost feels like they're kind of trying to make him live the way he lived, or make people think that he's crazy, because they're kind of like there when the doctors are there and driving him nuts, like just bugging him. And so, you know, when he says, oh, he's seeing these things and nobody else is seeing them, and they leave when the other people with abilities show up, it just leads me to believe that they're trying to, like, make him be seen as crazy the same way they were, or something of that sort. And it really is making me scared, because we don't know, like, how powerful these things are, or you're dealing with mentally unstable people in their past life. And since he's so sick, it just makes me really nervous. Like, I don't want them feeding off his energy or anything like that. So, today they're going to check him out of the hospital, but we're nervous because he said they're attached to him and we don't want to take him home. They have like a major past with like hauntings in their home in the past. And we've had religious people come in and bless the home, anoint the home. And they've actually said in the past that they've closed the front windows because that's a portal. And so that makes me even more nervous going home if they're following him or attached to him. And then like what other activity might this kick up? So I guess our next thing will be like reaching out to a shaman or something like that, because I don't really think that the religious people in his life necessarily believe exactly what he's saying. I think they kind of think what the doctors think, that it's the medication. And so even though they've been blessing him and praying over him, I don't know how much that's working, because I think they're just doing it like to appease him. So if they're not really targeting these spirits, then I don't know how much that's going to help. So anyways, this is an ongoing story. It's really scary. He's really scared. Someone stayed with him every night to make sure he's okay. And, you know, we've kind of tried to talk to him and tell him, like, he doesn't understand the strength of his abilities. So he doesn't understand what you're doing trying to communicate with him. It's really making him scared. Please leave. It's okay for you to move on. You're not stuck in this hospital anymore. All that, and it's really had zero effect. And he's kind of quieted down about it, but only because of the people in the hospital not taking him seriously. And now they're acting like that, oh, well, you're having mental problems. We don't want to let you leave. So we're like, we need to go to a different facility. So let me know if you guys have any questions or if you would like updates on the story. I can definitely call back, like, as things progress, and let you know or answer any questions that you might have. So thanks for putting together a wonderful show every day. I know a lot of us really appreciate it. Have a good day. Thanks. Bye.
So I guess if you hear a ghost in the background when you're on the phone, is it like an EVP?
I suppose.
The way that... what was it, his brother that he was talking to?
Mm-hmm.
Heard the kids in the background that mm-hmm. really weren't there?
I guess it's, yeah, I mean, it's electric. If it's picking up on some sort of electronic device, that would be, it's like a live EVP, if you
mm-hmm.
will. We've talked about that before. What do you think about the situation?
I think really and truly it may improve just as he ends up going home.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may be a case of somebody sensitive in a place where there's a lot of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if it's that close to what used to be the psychiatric hospital, then mm-hmm. who knows what's coming over from there too.
Be very interesting to hear what happens when he does leave mm-hmm. the facility, and if it does improve or not. I mean, because there could be an aspect to this where it is all medical,
yeah,
you know, related, you know, but this with the other parts that are intermingled here makes you wonder,
mm-hmm.
you know, makes you kind of go that other step of, I think there possibly is something else going on here. So, yeah, do please keep us updated and let us know what happens with that.
Yeah,
I'm curious. Thanks for calling in and sharing that with us. Phone number is 855-853-4802. That wraps up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, you want to keep us on the air, become an EPP, and for that, you will get all those bonus episodes, about 110 plus right now of those EPP episodes, plus exclusive video content and the archived shows that have fallen off of iTunes. So all in all, yeah, about 400-some episodes there you can just kind of binge away on. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, and that is what keeps this show funded and on the air. So if you like this thing, you want to continue well into the future, sign up at ghostpodcast.com, please. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.